Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
When you make decisions for your company, you look for the no-brainers. If you have a lot of mailing to do, stamps.com is the ultimate no-brainer. Use the Stamps.com mobile app to mail everything you need to keep your business running with up to 89% off USPS and UPS. Make the same no-brainer decision as over 1 million other businesses with Stamps.com. Use code PROGRAM for a special offer. That's Stamps.com, code PROGRAM.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition Smart Bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Welcome to Top Stories, I'm Andy Zaltzman, and we're going back to March 2015 in today's rummage into the Bugle archives, and the Russian government were being true to their stereotype. This is issue 289, entitled Turbo Russia, with me and John Oliver.
Top story this week, Russia goes old school! And tragically, Andy, last Friday, Russian opposition leader and former Deputy Prime Minister Boris Nemtsov was shot in the street in Moscow while walking home with his girlfriend across a bridge within sight of the Kremlin. It was an act which shocked the world. But should it have, Andy? Because clearly it's horrible. That is obvious. But is it really shocking? Or is it just an act that you could at best describe as turbo-Russian? Because while there is no doubt that those men who killed Nemtsov are guilty of murder, they're also pretty much guilty of plagiarism. They really should be paying royalties to countless Russian assassins from both real life and from the great pages of Russian literature right now. In fact, this was an act that was so unusual that Newsweek actually ran an article this week under the headline, Boris Nemtsov's murder is a killing Stalin would appreciate. And, look, that is both in extremely bad taste and extremely true. Because as we both know, Andy, Stalin was no stranger to dealing with his political opponents with both a sharp tongue and an even sharper ice pick.
There's been some debate over whether Putin was in any way involved in this. I mean, it's hard to tell, John, but the fact is his face does give off pretty much 24/7, 365, an unmistakable kill my opponent's vibe that someone might have picked up on. But then you have to ask, why would Putin, a world leader, even be rumoured to want Nemtsov dead. I mean, we compare it with our leaders, John. I mean, here in Britain, we have David Cameron. And I'm pretty sure that for all his many faults, he's not directly bumped off many any opposition leaders. I mean, you might not like him, but morally, I think he's pretty stoutly against targeted killings. And practically, he needs those opposition leaders in place come the election on May the 7th. He's not an idiot. So I'm 97% certain Cameron would never explicitly order a political slaying. Barack Obama, similarly, well, he knows what happens to Nixon, John, with Watergate, and that didn't involve killing opponents. So Obama knows that his post-presidency career could take a real hit if he starts having his opponents gunned down in public in the middle of major cities. That's something America has managed eventually to wean itself off. Putin, of course, though, a different thing entirely. Don't judge a book by its cover, but do judge a book by its contents. I reckon his fingerprints are all over it, John, all over it.
No one could justifiably be 100% surprised by this, because even Nemtsov himself gave an interview just on February, as recently as February the 10th, in which he said, "I'm afraid Putin will kill me. I believe he was the one who unleashed the war in Ukraine." The only way that could be more ominous, Andy, is if he'd ended that sentence with, "Oh, sorry, spoiler alert, everyone, spoiler alert." And even you saw this one coming, Andy. You predicted this yourself.
Yes, slightly spookily, when we were doing an episode on the Winter Olympics early last year, we had this bit in it.
There's an 18-mile stretch of road between Sochi and the mountain sports base at Krasnaya Polyana. Apparently, this has cost not 2, not 5, not 10, not 20, but $8.6 billion. That is over half the cost of the entire London Olympics, just for a stretch of road. I mean, apparently it's got a lovely service station with at least 2 of those automatic coffee machines. But you have to ask, is that value for money? There's an opposition leader called Boris Nemtsov, who, if he'd been around 65 years ago, would not have been around anymore 65 years ago. And he claimed that you could have paved the road with gold or caviar and it would have cost the same. Now, it being Russia, it's hard to tell if this is a criticism or a complaint at a missed opportunity.
You're like a murderous Nostradamus, Andy.
I had that as a review once. More than once. Putin said that Russia should be spared the kind of shame and tragedy we have recently endured and seen. And to that end, he has pledged that he will not have Nemtsov murdered ever again, no matter what. He's a man of his word, John.
He, like you say, he called it a shameful tragedy. Something I'm guessing he was able to do with a straight face by thinking of something that he thought was an actual shameful tragedy as he was saying it. Otherwise, it's basically impossible. There is no evidence of Putin's involvement yet, other than his obvious capability and obvious motive. Otherwise, that is the only evidence there is. And in fact, the head of Russia's FSB security service was asked on Wednesday whether there were currently any suspects in the case, and he said, "There always are." And that is the kind of displaced passive aggression in the wake of a murder, which is normally followed by a chilling chuckle of some kind. One thing is for sure, it is going to be very hard to ever find out who is responsible for this, partly because Putin himself has announced that he will be personally overseeing the investigation, and partly because the evidence is suspiciously slight. Nemtsov was killed in an area with constant surveillance, and yet, apparently, all the CCTV cameras surrounding the crime scene were said to have been under repair at the time of the murder. That is, at best, convenient. Andy, and when journalists started kicking up a bit of a fuss about that claim and pointing out that there were many photos online of cameras all over the walls of the Kremlin that day, the government then pointed out the cameras were all pointing in the wrong direction at the time. And it gets one degree worse, because there's actually one grainy camera that was working and does have footage available online. But, and this is true, at the precise moment that Nemtsov was shot, a gigantic snowplow drives up and blocks the camera's view. You should know there was no snow on the streets of Moscow that night, and not because that was a particularly amazing snowplow.
Well, I mean, come on, John. We've all seen snowplows unexpectedly pull up at the side of the road just for, you know, maybe the driver needed a cup of tea, take a phone call. It was probably just being safety conscious, John. He knows that he can't talk on his phone whilst ploughing non-existent snow within metres of Red Square in the Kremlin. We all know that.
You don't get to be the best snowplower in Moscow without pulling over to the side of the road when you want a snack or text.
So I guess the question is, why would, theoretically, Vladimir Putin want Nemtsov not to be entirely 100% alive anymore, theoretically, of course? Well, a bit of background on Nemtsov. He had a successful political career in the 1990s under Boris Yeltsin and has been an outspoken critic of Putin for the last 15 years. His conflicts, as we touched on last year, centred over massive embezzlement and profiteering ahead of the Sochi Olympics. He's also clashed with Putin over Russia's conduct in the Ukraine. And at the time of his assassination, he was in Moscow helping organise a rally against Russian involvement in the war in Ukraine and the current financial crisis the country is undergoing. This is not looking too good, John. Also, he was working on a report demonstrating involvement of Russian military with rebels in the eastern Ukraine. Now, I'm not saying that Putin definitely had Nemtsov assassinated, but I am saying if you were a contestant on the popular TV game show Family Fortunes, or Family Feud, as I believe it's known on your side of the Atlantic, yeah, in which you have to guess the most popular answers to survey questions, and your question was, we asked 100 Vladimir Putins to name someone they would not mind being assassinated, well, Nemtsov is going to be one of your very first answers, John. One of your very first. That's depending on when the Putins answered the questions and whether the list has been updated to discount people who might have once been on the list but have now been already assassinated. To add further suspicion, police seized Nemtsov's hard drives after he was killed. Now, I mean, that does look, again, slightly suspicious, although apparently he was absolutely awesome at Minecraft and they wanted to get their hands on his profile, and also probably to check whether or not he was watching sport via illegal streaming sites. It simply has to be stopped. The other possibilities, as you said, the Federal Security Service Chief Bortnikov said there are always suspects, according to Vladimir Markin, spokesman for the investigative committee. And I, for one, John, do not feel comfortable hearing the words investigative committee in such close proximity to a name as Russian as Vladimir Markin. The murder could have been a deliberate provocation to destabilize the political situation in Russia. There have been other suggestions he could have been killed by his political allies to create a martyr, which seems frankly insane. It could be Islamic extremism, neo-Nazi radicals, Western spy agencies. No guessing, no prize for guessing who has suggested that might be a possibility. A business dispute, a love life, Lee Harvey Oswald, some have suggested he was possibly responsible, an argument about an offside in a football match, and mistaken identity in which someone thought he was Osama bin Laden. Another possibility, John, here's some descriptions of Nemtsov. Tall, handsome, witty and irreverent, deeply intelligent and kind. He also had a spicy private life involving a string of glamorous women, and he was a high-ranking physicist who'd produced more than 60 academic publications on quantum physics, thermodynamics and acoustics. So this man is an impressive being, John. It could just be basic jealousy. It could be Putin thinking, well, yes, I've ridden a horse without my top on, but I've not published 60 academic publications on quantum physics, and nor am I regarded as tall, handsome, witty and irreverent. In fact, I'm 0 for 4 on those. So who knows, John? It could just be basic green-eyed jealousy. The whole situation is related to what is happening in Ukraine. Alexander Vershbow, NATO's Deputy Secretary General, said there was mounting evidence that the Russian incursion into Ukraine is becoming much less popular amongst the Russian public. But of course, Putin and the Russian government deny that they have been officially involved in this. So it's a very interesting, fascinating philosophical question, John. Can something become more unpopular despite the fact that it officially isn't actually happening? I mean, I guess people are very much opposed, more and more so, in fact, similarly here, to the sale of unlicensed Ewok meat. And there were also demonstrations in London today against the banning of competitive sonnet screaming. So who knows? And the US Assistant Secretary of State Victoria Nuland said that told a Congressional Foreign Affairs Committee that Russia had deployed, quote, thousands and thousands of troops, without giving a precise number. And I guess it's always reassuring when senior US government officials are strangely vague about military matters. History shows to be that to be a sound push-off in an enjoyable bobsled run to happiness. And the Russian Foreign Ministry spokesman, Alexander Lukashevich, responded by rejecting these figures, saying they were plucked out of the air. Well, I'm a cricket fan, John. If you pluck something out of the air, you've done something right. You've done something exactly bang on the banana. Lukashevich also pointed to other reports suggesting there were 12,000 Russian servicemen allegedly in Ukraine. And he responded, but why 12,000? Why are they thinking small? Why didn't they say 20,000? Why didn't they say 25,000? Reading between the lines, what he obviously means is, we have recently increased our troop commitment in Ukraine from 20 to 25,000.
Thank you for listening to this edition of Top Stories. More classic Bugle clips coming your way very soon. In the meantime, go and listen to the latest issue of the Bugle in your pod feed right now.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hi, it's producer Chris from The Bugle here. Did you know that I have a new series of my podcast, Richie Firth Travel Hacker, out now? It's the show where Richie Firth and I talk about how to make travel better in our very special way. In this series, we discuss Lime Bikes, Teslas, the London Overground, and a whole bunch of other random stuff that possibly involves wheels or tracks or engines of some variety. God, what a hot sell this is. I mean, you must be so excited. Listen now.